I'm out walking again in the countryside, and Harriet is with me. Hello, Harriet.
Morning.
Oh, it's Halloween day time. It's the 31st of October 2010, and we're taking a little stroll over, what is it called?
Hormond Hill, just outside Shrewsbury.
And it's an interesting place, Shrewsbury, Shropshire, in as much as the hills just sort of pop up out of the ground, don't they?
Yeah, it's flat.
It is flat, and then suddenly there's a hill, and then it's flat again.
And off, what do we do? So let's climb that one then.
Let's climb that one. Tick that off the box. So we've come out on a very...
Just keep going straight. Yes. There are lots of paths off, but
I know.
I think for the moment, if we go straight...
We don't have a map, that's the problem. And although this hill is a sort of oval-shaped hill, surrounded with the spruce trees...
Watch out for the ghosts on Halloween.
Well,
witches,
absolutely.
Goblins.
Wouldn't want to be walking up here in the dark, would you?
Definitely not.
You know, lots of wildlife trundling along, doing their thing, making odd little rustling noises, which in the daytime, perfectly fine. At night time, it's a right old thing, isn't it? Because
scary. It
gets scary.
Especially there's no moon. It would be pitch black here.
Yes, it is a grey day today. It's coming to the end of autumn. A lot of the trees have turned to their lovely reds and oranges. Many of the leaves are on the ground. And it is quite bleak. It's quite brisk. Bracing. I mean, it's not one of those very frozen ones.
No.
It is a little chilly.
Yes.
Just, you know, it's the beginning of winter, isn't it, really?
Definitely. Need the log fire going later.
Absolutely. And there's plenty of... Well, this is a part of the Forestry Commission land.
Yes, that's right.
And so these trees, these spruce trees, presumably are grown to be logged then, I imagine. I found out quite interestingly that the people that supply me with logs, and in fact most of these small loggers, I believe buy their wood from the Forestry Commission. You can't buy them direct. They go to these smaller people who take them from the Forestry Commissions,
right,
chop them all up, mature them, and then sell them and deliver them.
Right.
Which is, it makes sense really.
Yeah, a bit like all the logs we saw when we went to Offa's Dyke.
Yes, yes, exactly the same. And so they're obviously people like that, not only do sort out logs, but they also have the shoots, don't they?
Yes. No pheasants today, though.
No.
We saw a lot yesterday.
Yesterday we took a little walk by, where was it, the River Severn at Atcham, by the Mitten and Mermaid, along the stream there, the River Severn, not the stream, and afternoon? Oh, morning, rather. Yeah, well, that's all right, it's very low-key. And we took this little walk. And everywhere we went, right on the edge of the river there, on the bank, these pheasants just belted out, sometimes at the last minute, which took us completely by surprise. Whoosh, they went up into the air. Yes, don't want to step in anything nasty and smelly like that. Oh, now,
what's that?
There's something there. Is that a trig point? It's on the top of a hill, or is it a statue?
I don't think it's a trig point.
It looks like a trig point. Or is it?
You were trying to look for one on the map.
We looked on the Ordnance Survey, ladies and gentlemen, before we came out here, and we didn't want to get ourselves lost, but we don't have an OS map. That is a trig point, I'm pretty certain.
Okay.
Yes, here we are. From
you
a distance.
Were right.
Sorry.
As ever.
How awful it is. I have to hold this mantle of being correct.
Oh, it's lovely.
All
here.
The time.
It's like a glade.
We've come out from the main path into this sort of very lovely, luscious green.
It's been mown.
It does. It is that very strange grass. It's like a moss grass, isn't it? That's
more like astroturf grass almost.
And you'd expect to see sheep or something nibbling away on what it is. And this is the highest point then on this little stony bit. We have our OS marker.
Yep.
And for those nerds out there who want to know and collect these things, the number is BMS3123. Check that out. And to think, back in the 1930s, some hefty blokes would have come up here with bags and stuff and I don't know, in the 30s they must have had some form of trucks and stuff.
Yes.
To get up here would have been easy enough because there's those pathways. But other places, imagine on the top of the Stiper Stones, not so easy to get up with their cement and their equipment in order to... And a mould, presumably, they come up with moulds and put those trig points in, which have to be absolutely...
Are they all the same, then, trig points?
Yeah.
They all look the same, do they?
Absolutely.
Right.
Because on the top, you'd have some sort of thalodoscope jobby, thalodomite, some clod.
Not thalodomites.
Well, you'd have some mechanism that will then see to the next trig point. You need to have line of sight.
Right, okay, yes.
So I imagine that three or 4 miles from here... You should... Well, we can't because we're surrounded with trees.
Yeah.
Which would make this redundant. But in its day, when this was put up here in the 30s, you would have seen...
The next one.
The next one, which may have been one of the tops of the Stipester...
Yeah, because it's from here, there is the next lot of hills. This is the Shropshire Hills.
The Shropshire Hills. Yeah. So you would have seen that. And they would triangulate the land. So there would be at least two they would need to, from here to see. And away it goes.
Yeah.
On this triangular, and they would have mapped out of Britain, which would have been fab. So our plan, rough plan, is that we're trying to find a number of things on this walk, apart from ghosts that may be rummaging around.
Thinking about Halloween and ghosts, I do think you need to explain to your listeners about the goings on in the night.
Well, I've been staying at the lovely Harriet's place last night, and as we were snoozing in our beds, there was this sudden high-pitched noise which woke us up. Funnily enough, we were actually awake.
Yes, we were.
We were having a bit of a chinwag, and suddenly out of nowhere, this alarm goes off. Oh, there's a nice little... What kind of dog do you call that?
That's a big poodle, isn't
it? It's
a
big poodle. It's got a name.
It's horrible.
But anyway, this alarm went off, and all of a sudden, afternoon or morning, I don't know where we are. Another bunch of people there just passed us who have absolutely no control whatsoever on their dog,
which winds
the blooming hell out of me because they didn't even attempt to pull the dog back.
No, it didn't. I actually jumped out of its way.
Yeah, you know, that is. I'm a bit anti-dog walkers for that reason. Not because I don't like animals, but I find that people who don't have any control or thought that other people may not want a dog bounding up to them, I just find that very selfish. Anyway, there we were.
Yes.
And this high-pitched, funny noise went off. And you said you'd never heard this noise before.
Good God, no. And it went on because I had no idea, and then it just suddenly stopped, didn't it?
Yeah.
I had absolutely no idea what it was.
So I staggered around the house and had a gander around to see what it could possibly be. And there was a fire alarm on the landing, which you said, well, it's not that because I've taken the batteries out.
Yeah.
So that was a bit peculiar.
You asked if it was my oven.
I said, no. Is that your oven making that noise? It was definitely in the house. And it was curious because I just sent a tweet on my BlackBerry and I almost thought, oh, I wonder if the signal had interrupted. Yeah. It's amazing what sort of stupid things go through your mind. Yeah. Anyway, couldn't find it, went back to bed. Then in the morning, we were so aware. I said, oh, you know, it's Halloween day today. I said, isn't it a coincidence? Weird, because when I said... we were just reminding the conversation about the thing that happened, and I happened to say the word, well, it was funny when that alarm went off. And as I said, alarm, this is no word of a lie, this is several hours later.
You couldn't make it up.
As I said, it's funny how that alarm went off. The alarm went off! It went off again!
It was hysterical.
And I thought, well, only on Halloween morning could that have happened.
Well, I'm very glad you were there. I wasn't on my own.
So I had to play the hero
yesterday.
So this morning, yes, it seems like a bloody long time ago. Right, we're sticking to the blue footpath.
Yeah.
And on this trip, we are aiming to go past. We won't be able to go in because I believe they shut it up. It's owned by National Trust. Hormond Abbey, is that right?
Yeah, well done. Yeah, Hormond Abbey.
And how do we spell Hormond?
H-A-U-G-H-M-O-N-D.
So you can look it up on a map if you are really bored. And it's up near Shrewsbury in Shropshire.
Just to the east.
There you go. It's an abbey, obviously. It was an abbey in its day. I have no other information about it, other than it is in ruins. So we know from that, probably all down to King Henry VIII and the dissolution, pretty desolate, but did the dissolution of the monasteries of, when was that, 1534?
You're the historian.
I was just checking that you knew, because I know you know, obviously. And so that'll be in bits and pieces. But if we carry on for a little bit further, if that's all right, depending on the weather and how cold we are and how our legs are doing.
Yeah.
There is some hill fort on another little hill, and I can't remember what that's called. Can you?
Ebury. I think it was E-B-U-R-Y. Oh, mind the step.
Sorry. Yes, so
Ebury something, yeah.
That's our plan, and we do hope that you will stay with us. At the beginning of this little walk, I said to Harriet, I said, you know, I bet nobody comes up here. It looks quite a deserted place. And the world and his brother is out. It is a Sunday. Oops, I've got a runner man. Thank you.
Come on.
I'm not coming. Oh, he's talked to the dog.
You think he's talking to
me? I thought he was like, get out of the way. I thought he was saying, out of the way, come on, I'm coming through.
In his fat chocolate Labrador he was calling to.
Right. Very crazy.
We're starting to go downhill now.
So we must have
got to the
peak of that. I mean, again, it's surrounded by trees, lovely forest, lovely bracken. It just to prove that we are out, here's a bit of bracken. Sometimes people don't always believe it, you know.
Well, they think you're sitting in the beach hut.
Making
up a walk.
Yes, that's it. Making up a walk.
I promise you he's not.
Oh, look. Now, look. On our right-hand side, there's a funny fenced-off huge field that looks like it's been... I don't know. I'm just having a quick gander. I'm a bit nosy. A whole load of dead wood that looks like part of the... Oh, well, maybe this is the Forestry Commission doing their work. They've hacked down a whole load of trees.
Yeah, it will be, won't it?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're managing it, aren't they?
Yes, and no doubt they will replant trees, and then for the next 10 years there'll be trees here.
And then they'll probably move on to a different bit and so on and so forth.
There's lots of lovely dead wood for your fire
here. I know.
That would be really handy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Oh. That is real seasoned wood. Not very thick.
Can you carry a load back, please?
Certainly, I'll just put it in my pockets. But there you are. And there is a bit of bird song. We haven't heard much bird song, really, have we?
No, it's very... Oh, yes, there we go. But it's very still today, isn't it?
Yeah.
The trees are hardly moving.
No.
There's a massive different types of trees in here.
Are you good at recognising trees? I know that you've taught me a few trees. Spruces, I can sort of recognise.
We've got an oak tree there.
Little oak.
Everybody should be able to recognise that. There's a beech one there.
What's this one?
That's another oak.
Oh, yes, of course it is, because of the leaves.
Yes.
Fool I am. Beech trees are easy to identify now, because of their sort of circular leaves. Lots of oaks, actually.
Lots of oaks, yeah.
What about...
They might be made into oak furniture and stuff like that, I guess.
Yes. What about these red leaves?
They're the beech ones.
Oh, they're the beech ones. Of course they are.
But I haven't seen any horse chestnut ones.
Now, when we went to...
no conkers.
When we went to Petworth House...
Yes.
My friend Jimmy and I did a walk.
Oh, yes.
There were hundreds of horse chestnut trees.
Oh, they're lovely.
Of course, the horse chestnuts had dropped on the ground at this time. And the deer, there was millions of deer in this bloody place, were gobbling them up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they obviously, I mean, I didn't know that. Horse chestnuts, they were obviously feeding on that. Hundreds of these things galloping about, nibbling on their nuts.
That was a pretty sight then.
Yes, I made sure I had mine zipped away.
Yeah,
they weren't getting at my nuts, thank you. Right, well, I think we'll press on with our walk, where we are anyway.
Yes.
And
we're going at quite a good pace.
We are.
I'm quite hot now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, throw all your clothes off. And then we'll catch up and see if we can find Hormond Abbey. Over the stile then, Harriet.
Yep.
Well, that was a fair old trek, wasn't it?
It was a bit further than we thought from looking at the map, wasn't it?
We've
got where we needed to go, which is the abbey right in front of us.
We've come right over the top of the hill. We were keeping the views of the town on our left-hand side, and now we're on this little lane. Although the gate said closed, quite ominously, because you can't physically get into the abbey ground, there is the Shropshire Way that circumnavigates Hormond Hill, but also goes up past the ruins of the abbey. And we get a nice distant view of the abbey. Can you hold the microphone for me?
Of course. Nicely? You're going to take a photo?
No, I'm just bored of holding it. Yes, no, I'm going to take a photograph.
What did your last slave die from?
So here we are. This is at the abbey. It looks very nice. It looks like it's been built out of what that hill was built.
You're absolutely right when you saw the stone up the hill, yeah.
We saw some rock formation pushing out of the hill that we were walking on, and I happened to say to Harriet, I wonder if the abbey has been built out of this rock, and it very much looks like it has, only because of the colour, but that may not be true. It would cost you £3.20 to get in there if it was open. It's not open on a Sunday.
It's very strange that it's not open on a Sunday, isn't it? Lots of people would want to come on
actually,
a Sunday.
Oh, actually, it stops being open from the 30th of September.
Ah, right, yes.
So it is open Wednesdays to Sunday, 5 to 10. But there's a picture of it here, so one doesn't even need to go in. You just look at the picture, and it looks like a ruined abbey.
Yes.
What more can you say about it, operated by English Heritage? I suppose the north end of the abbey, actually, which is interesting. I don't know whether it is the north end, because depends how it's been laid out, but we're on the Shropshire Way path, and it's amazing how close you can get to the abbey. It's not hidden behind trees, even though they want to charge you to go in.
Yeah.
But you get a great sense of how big the abbey must have been, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that door, which is a normal height doorway,
Yes, typical church doorway, arch doorway.
And then you look at to the left, I know listeners obviously can't see this, but you know, if I was to take a photograph of you against the left-hand side, you'd see how big it is.
Yes, and there's a massive wall of about, I don't know, 20, 30 foot high. Quite high. And you've got the ends of what looks like churches within the abbey, chapels, I suppose they are, I don't know. And you almost get the sense of, with that end wall there, with the massive area where it would have had one of those huge arched windows with stained glass windows and these little turrets either side, you almost get the impression over this side would be a mirror image. A lot of it's missing because there's not much left of it, but there's enough there to see some walls, doorways, very much a sort of layout of the grounds. We saw some other just very low walls which give you the sort of footings of certain areas and rooms, and it's quite a vast area, and I suppose all this ground that we're now walking on would have been part of the monks' area, and they would have been out here growing things, ploughing up the field, their little wheat and barley and pigs and enclosures of cattle and what have you. And it's not that difficult to sort of switch your mind round to that, is it really?
No, interesting is it's so compared to Shrewsbury Abbey, which is that red brick.
Yes.
This is completely different brick,
completely
isn't it?
Completely different stone.
And it's only 3-4 miles away.
Yeah. This is a sort of a greeny grey, very weathered with lichens and stuff. But then it's infilled with different types. On this giant wall, it's got some really dark browns in there, as well as the much more
sandstone. See, that window's been blocked up on the right.
Yeah, looks like it. You can see there were windows there, and they've been infilled with something at some point in time. And probably, who knows? You wouldn't do it after the dissolution, would you? Because there's so many other windows that are just basically these mullioned windows that are empty.
Yeah.
And after 1536 or whatever, there they are. And a lot of this brickwork would have been nicked and would have been used to build some of the large houses around. possibly Etcham House may have been...
Essien Park,
beg your pardon.
Right, okay.
Could have been used from some of this stonework.
Right.
You know, you look at some of this fine stonework here.
Mm.
They may have finished it off with other bits and pieces on the frontage. But who knows? Well, that's what they used to do.
Right, I didn't... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because all the stonework was basically... And all the timber from the churches, the top of these big chapels that would have been here.
Mm.
Wonderful hammer-beamed roofs, tiles, and all that would have been used on lots of property. But the rich, because this would have been sold to somebody.
Right.
Henry VIII would have sold this land... And the building, and whoever wanted it, or whoever bought it. Oh, we're going through a gate here.
After you.
Thank you. Whoever bought it would basically have the rights to take what they wanted and just leave the rest, and they did tend to do that.
Okay.
And so you can see that a lot of the buildings have gone, and all we see is the foundation little footwalls,
yes,
which give you an indication.
But is that how even bigger it was? Because that extends on beyond what's still standing.
Yeah. I mean, I do find these abbeys utterly fascinating because something happened here and it stopped. It's not ever been built on.
No.
People have just now wandered around looking at it, going, oh, look, I suppose this went in here and what have you. But wow, look at that. Some of those, they look...
Wow, yeah.
We're looking
that's
at
that's much more intricate, isn't it?
We're looking at a building. Obviously, we can't get to it, unfortunately. A building that's a roof has gone. It's a big square sort of thing, one story by the looks of it. But a very imposing, impressive gate with that sort of tiered entrance in there with the arch gate with lots of brickwork, but it's sort of tiered on the inside. And I think they call it a drip wall, I'm not quite sure. But there's three of them next to each other. Fantastic. And then it must go into probably a vaulted ceiling on the inside of that because it's dark on the inside. We can't see inside, but there's no light coming through that doorway.
No.
So it must have got a roof, and they used to have vaulted ceilings back in the medieval period. Absolutely amazing. Really, really.
So considering how close it is to Shrewsbury Abbey, would this have been a different, your knowledge, a different bunch of monks and so on?
I think they were Franciscans at... Abbey Foregate,
right?
The Shrewsbury Abbey, where these are Augustians.
Yes.
So completely different bunch, different philosophy, and all that sort of thing. But it's very, you know, you can see how rich they must have been to build something like this.
And how long must it have taken?
Well, exactly.
To build it as
you don't
well.
Just build it overnight. No. You know, this would have taken a few hundred years, I would imagine, and would have grown from. Perhaps
the existing
original
area,
timber
yeah.
buildings, and then made out of stone, and so on and so on. Obviously, the roofs were made out of wood and what have you. But
even just carrying all these stones and
yeah, and some of these big places like this, they would have may only have had about 15 to 20 monks here, but they would have had a lot of lay people.
Right.
And I don't fully understand the mechanics and workings of that. They would have had a lot of people who came in, and farmhands and what have you, who supported what they did. But they would have had just a small nucleus of actual monks or priests or whatever they were. I suppose it's a monastery, it's monks, isn't it?
Mm.
Or an abbey. See, I don't know that my... When you get to the religious sort of thing, all the different terminology gets into a bit lost.
But you can get this feel, I've said of other places we've been to, almost imagine people bustling around.
Yes. I mean, for me, it goes back to that. You go into a house and you can see it's been modified over the years, like in Shrewsbury, lots of those old timber frames, they've been brought up, and you can do a bit of a detective thing, think, oh, that's the old original timber frame building, that's where they've added bits, they've infilled it here with brick, because originally it would have been wattle and daub, now it's got, it's, you know, into the Georgian period, and that's been changed over in the Victorian period, where they stripped it back and put bitumen onto the wood, it wouldn't have had that originally, and it's gone through a period of change, and that's a story in itself, whereas something like this... It has its own history of however long it was here, say 400 years, or longer, and then that's it.
Mm.
Dissolution of the monasteries comes up, and it's almost like, click, somebody's stopped time.
Yes.
and it's just sat here and done nothing.
Yeah.
Other than be a ruin.
Yeah.
Things may have happened in
here. I mean, the fact that, you know, the majority of it is still standing, you would think, I wonder how many more hundreds of years it's going to be here for.
Exactly.
So it was really well built, these things, weren't they?
And to me, that's, you know, that's the crux of it. You've got it there. No modern building that we build will outlast these sort of things.
No, exactly.
I mean, they've already got 400 odd years on us.
Yeah.
And then, well, they've probably got much more than that. I mean, you know, some of our old churches are 1,000 and so years old. 1,000 years old.
They had the techniques to do it then. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. And we sort of
without a computer program.
Exactly. And they didn't need to have a PhD in things or, you know, go have a certain. They just knew what they were doing. They were fantastic builders and they built them out of stone. But this is the other thing, is you build this book. You know that book I bought when we went to Much Wenlock? And I looked at this book on architecture, and I didn't buy it, but I bought it online.
Yes, I do. Yeah,
and that was about building materials for buildings. The guy who wrote that book, his philosophy was how right it is to build big buildings like these out of the local materials,
right?
And how, when you look at it, it just seems right. It blends in, does it not? As we look at it with all the beautiful autumn colours, with the oranges and the reds and the dark browns and the odd bits of stone that we see in the hills.
Yes.
And then you see the same greys, and it just seems absolutely right.
It's part of the landscape, isn't it?
If this was in red brick, it would look wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if it was made in steel and glass, it would just look right. But here it just looks totally in its environment, and it looks totally beautiful and perfect.
Yeah, I seem to remember as well from some of the books I've read that the surnames of people were designated by what they did. So if you were called Tom and you were a mason, you were Tom Builder.
There you go.
And that was your surname.
Yeah. Your job was defined or given to you by what you did as a tanner.
Yeah, exactly.
And Fletcher.
Yep. I can't think of any others, but the builder, definitely, yeah.
Loads of them. This is very strange, isn't it? We're just walking back now, Harriet, to end our walk, the last walk back to go to the pub that we saw. Suddenly in the corner of my eye, what eye I have got left, just suddenly saw this tiny miniature little chapel type thing.
Look at that size of the door. I mean, that must have been a child thing.
Just go and have a little look. It's in the wood. They call this area Abbey Wood. That's what they call it now. You can imagine the monks up here collecting nuts and various things.
With
the rutting round here would have been fantastic. And then there's this miniature church. It's. I wonder what it was for. Whether they put.
It's like a Wendy house, but from olden times.
Yes. Now that's us showing our ignorance. But it's. I mean, showing maybe it's a shrine. Maybe it's a shrine. It's locked with a.
Is it a folly?
No, I don't think it's a folly. I think it's part of the abbey. It's the same stonework. I'll take some pictures. You've got to go and have a look. But obviously now it's locked. But I just wonder if maybe it's where they put naughty monks.
How did they get in? The door's too small.
It's a tiny door. The door goes up to my chest, up to my sternum. And it's got a padlock on now, but it's a very old door with studded door with massive.
Yeah, it's a proper door.
It's just miniature. In miniature, yes. Yeah. Totally bizarre. And something was on here at some point. Some sort of metalwork has been cut off, almost like a little porch, almost. I don't know.
And animals?
I wouldn't have thought so. No, I know.
That's
surely not.
As grand as this.
Surely not. I mean, it's triangular, it's very small, you can walk around, it's like a garden shed sort of size, but it's made out of the same stone. It's got a proper roof on it, and then it's got what looks like I don't know what you call it. It's a big stone, almost like a keystone above the door, with this candle. I don't know whether you put a candle. It is like a shrine in the middle of a wood. It's quite
eerie.
We'll
have to find out what it is.
Now, Halloween, of course. You can imagine putting a candle in there and a few monks come round naked. But it's also within a little bit of a, not a hollow, but it's got the dug into the ground a bit, isn't it?
Because in
a little ditch. Or at least there's two banks either side. And it's anything around the rear, did you look? No, nothing at all. No rear mirror window, rear mirrors, windows. There is
indicators.
There's a drain cover here. I wonder if it's a well.
No.
It's a bit high up for a well. I just wonder. Well, I'm just thinking water.
Yeah.
I wonder.
But why have that little tiny door, which is so beautifully made?
Well, you know, they were midget monks, pygmies. Maybe it's a well in there. We'll have to find out.
We'll have to find out.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Well.
We're going to leave you with that extraordinary find on our walk as we head back to the car.
Yeah, we've got another hour ahead of us.
Yes. So we're going to crack on with that and no waiting to talk. But thank you for joining us on this very unusual, and it is, of course, a Halloween show. Take care and tune in again soon.
I said it won't be Halloween show tomorrow, will it?
Oh yeah, I didn't think of that.